Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. This is our last part for this section of chapter 4. And the title is the same. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you were on Steve's study there last night, it was a very timely study. And talked about our being in the I Am and the confidence that God is building in us. Little and by little as he drives out the beast and just shows us that our priesthood is in Christ. It's in the I Am, which is what the book of Hebrews is all about. It's confirmation over and over of what God can do for us, through us, with Christ ruling and reigning in our hearts. So here are the verses. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. We know where the heavens are. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Coming boldly, not because we're bold in our flesh, but because we recognize Christ in us and that we're accepted in Christ. And we need to have that concept and understanding that we are worthy through Christ. Our flesh is not worthy. Flesh is never going to be worthy. It was never meant to be worthy. But Christ in us tells us this is the right approach. This is how God wants us to believe and understand our standing is in Christ. And there's no condemnation in Christ. And so we are going to be shown, as we continue in this relationship, what it is that he's cleansing and doing in each of our lives. In this last section of chapter 4, we'll look at what the scriptures conclude is the way, as I just said, we should approach our Father through Christ. And these two verses, we'll get into that, where we find grace to help in time of need, so that today, if you will hear his voice, you will, through Christ, obtain mercy that is given by our loving Abba Father, who sheds his love abroad in our hearts, so that we harden not your hearts in this age. That's really what it means when he says it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He's given it to us through Christ. For through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Remember, we're talking about how do we come before God and what should be our mindset? How is it that our Father is looking at us? We're accepted through Christ. He's seeing us through Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God's forbearance is long-suffering that leads us unto repentance and as we're being cleansed through Christ. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In Isaiah 66:2, for all these things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Pardon me. Through Christ, we can hold fast our profession and not give the devil any advantage to come in and discourage us. We are called in this age for that very reason, to learn to fight a good fight of faith by submitting to God and resisting the devil, which is how we resist unto blood, striving against sin. We talked about that, and I mulled that over again and thought of a few more verses that are connected to that. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. So how do we do that? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This is coming boldly before the throne. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, which we all are naturally without Christ coming in. And, you know, we talked about what the sword does, dividing and conquering that old man that's within us. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So we resist the devil in this manner, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's the resisting is against the devil, and he will flee from you. And it might end up being that we resist unto the actual physical shedding of blood. But if we're not resisting unto blood day by day, resisting the powers and principalities through Christ, then we're missing the point. That's what we're in. We're fighting a good fight of faith today, every day, dying daily. We're not alone in this struggle against sin and the powers and principalities that Christ is far above. We cast all our cares upon Christ and his body to overcome those powers and principalities that we wrestle against. And this starts when we go boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our memories are very short. We're just like the Israelites. How many times has God delivered us, answered our prayers, helped us, you know, helped me umpteen times do studies when I felt I wasn't ready, given me the ability to work in this complicated environment sometimes, dealing with people, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever it is, we tend to forget those miracles that happen day by day, but we need to go back and consider those as God's mercy. Those are the tender mercies that he's shown when he's delivered us. This ongoing process of self-examination and confession of faults is one that each joint of Christ's body is experiencing, so that we can all benefit by the love that he supplies or sheds abroad on our hearts to help us overcome sin or fear within us that must be overcome in order to have love be made perfect within us, which is what it says here in John. God is the one who blesses us so that we can continue to be spiritually healthy, a spiritually healthy branch that is being given increase so that we can bear the burden of others. So it's not just for our sakes. Our health, of course, is for the health of the body. And when we are healthy spiritually, we can help in that maturing process of fruit in their lives, as a healthy branch should be doing on any fruit-bearing tree. So we bear each other's burdens, as we'll read here, and that's why God is giving us health for each other. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So there's no doubt that if Christ is loving us, if God is strengthening us, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. That's the love that he's talking about. And we need to know that we need that love. We can't be having confidence in our flesh and thinking that somehow we can overcome in our own flesh. That's self-righteousness. And God is going to burn that out of us. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Everyone in the body of Christ is benefited by the overcomer. And so it is written, let us collectively move forward with the same mind of Christ, seeking and looking for the same heavenly country that we have been called unto. As we move forward together, like an army that is operating by the power of God and not by the wisdom of men. Also, let us do that in the measure of faith that God gives each of us. So there's that aspect, operating in the measure, staying in a rank in that sense, like an army, knowing where we belong, asking the Lord to show us that and help us to be humbly taking that lower seat, waiting for him to call us to service whenever he calls us. Hebrews 11:14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And this is a city that he's talking about, Jerusalem above, And of course, there's a future time when we'll see the fullness of that. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, you barren that bear not. Break forth and cry, you that travail not. And what does 1 Corinthians 2:5 say? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that's why we rejoice, because our faith is not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we're going to be revisiting that verse several times here. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. James 4, verses 15 to 17. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. God is sovereign over all our actions, the good and the evil, in other words. That's what that verse is telling us. As we go forward, and he gives us the increase as we go towards that new city, Jerusalem above. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So what is that boasting that's here? Boast not against the branches that we just talked about. But if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root thee. So we bear each other's burdens, but we acknowledge Christ is the one doing all of this. You will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. So that's our mindset through Christ. He can help us maintain that mindset to say, well, we're very, very blessed and privileged to be held through Christ. And the Isaiah series that Mike is doing is talking about that. Right, every verse practically is confirming that reality of the certainty of what God can do within each of our lives. So there's lots of encouragement there. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And here's that verse, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 5. You, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God doesn't hide the fact that it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. No man that wars against warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Pardon me. Judges chapter 7, verses 7 to 2 to 7. And this, of course, is the story of Gideon's army. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are too many. Now, I'm going to keep referencing this verse over and over, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Of course, this is what Christ was doing. This is what the Father was showing us through this example. For there's too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Like we read in Romans 11, boasting against the root and not recognizing Christ as being the one who's doing the work. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And the return of the people, 20 and 2,000, and the remain 10,000. Those numbers are all significant. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. And why, again, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he's really making this point clear. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Talking about going into that new city, going into Jerusalem above, the mother of us all. That's God's call. And that's what he's telling us here in type and figure right here. So we brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink. And then the number of them that lapped, putting her hand to their mouth, were 300 men. And all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. The Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the people go, every man unto his place. Pardon me. The 300 men represent the elect who are going through a process of judgment. That's 3 times 10 times 9. It's a witness of the flesh that has to be put off. And in this age, that requires that we keep our eyes on Christ, even while we acknowledge that we are still in vessels of clay that can't inherit the kingdom of God. The other group lap also, but both their knees are to the ground with their face toward the earth, typifying that they are not setting their minds on things above, which is what Colossians 3:2 says. And although they may be drinking water that represents God's word, it is not mixed with faith, which comes from our looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, who we are being dragged to. So set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So recognizing and asking the Lord to guide us and keep us humble and hungry and thankful for what it is that makes us a joint that is being worked with and supplying in his service. And so let us collectively move forward with that same mind of Christ as we look at these verses tonight, starting with our first verse. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What we are to hold fast to in our profession of fighting a good fight of faith is the exceeding great and precious promises which have been given unto us, so that we can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those promises that we profess that are given to us in Christ are being held fast to and remain in our heavens through coming boldly unto the throne of grace of verse 16, so we can overcome in this age. And there's that word, hold fast, G2902, hold, keep, lay hold on, obtain, retain. It's a lot like the idea of abiding in the word, holding it fast. There's the word acknowledgement. This is the next root from the word profession, G3671, profession. There's an acknowledgement there. Acknowledging who you are in Christ, recognizing that you are his workmanship, that God is working this work. And then and that's G3671, and that breaks down to G3670, which is acknowledgement. And then we have the next part of that word, confession is made, give thanks, promise, G3670, which is the breakdown of the word profession. And that's interesting, made me think of Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's what Christ said. What is it to do the works? Well, it's to believe. And if God has given you to believe, then there's a confession being made. Our actions are going to reflect that faith, and we're going to bring forth much fruit by the hand of God. He's going to do that. Here are just some of the promises that God will bring us into remembrance so that we can be armed with the mind of Christ. and overcome in this life through him who strengthens us and through the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our trials. And like we know, there are many trials. There's much tribulation. We're promised that we're going to have trials and much tribulation in order to enter into the kingdom. And that can only be a confirming statement if we know that this much tribulation has been accompanied with the promise that God will make a way for us to escape that tribulation by bearing up under it through Christ. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And that's an interesting statement. All of the world, and we know that says that in Romans, all the world groans. There's temptations. There's all sorts of similar trials that the world goes through. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, the elect, to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That doesn't mean that we're not going to fall from time to time, because we fall 7 times. But we get up and we're not easily beset as much. Less and less, we realize the Lord's working this, and Christ is going to increase and we're going to decrease, and we're going to get stronger, and we're going to be given just the right trial for our life as we mature and grow. He knows what we need. That tribulation may come in various forms as God has deemed necessary, so that we learn to trust in him and not in our own flesh or the flesh of some other person. God is in the process of showing the world, and this is for the world's sake ultimately. It's for our sakes today, but he's in the process of showing the world the resolve of the elect, the discipleship that we have through Christ, that is made perfect through Christ, and how there is nothing that can separate us from his love, from his hand that holds us as we look to, unto him. And 2 Corinthians 1:9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. That's that sentence of death, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. And I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church upon Christ himself. And the gates of hell, this sentence of death that we're talking about, shall not prevail against it. And Acts 9:1, and Saul, yet breathing out slaughtering, threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, even that event that we just read. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Then saith he unto them, my soul, speaking of Christ, is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. So even that exceeding sorrow that Christ went through was for our sakes, so that our high priest could, when those times come, and they don't come very often, but they do come in life, because life has moments of exceeding sorrow, he's there to hold us up, to strengthen us. Nothing will separate us from his love. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. That doesn't mean we won't fear. It means that when we recognize it, we should be coming boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need, to overcome that fear. And we will. We'll drive it out through Jesus Christ. We'll overcome every time. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, how or what. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. And of course, Romans 8 has to come to mind at this point. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. And that's how we're killed, by all of those things. Those are the things that come up against us. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things that we just read, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, which we read earlier, Christ is far above, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God is demonstrating through the elect, like we said earlier, his strength and a certainty of our deliverance through Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those who have already gone ahead and gone through that process, and those who are going through it, some are further along than others, but we are where we are. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. And when we consider Christ, we don't just, well, let's consider him. No, we go boldly before the throne of grace, and we cast our cares upon him, and we beseech him for that strength that he can comfort us with, because he's gone through it. He can be there for us, and that's what it means to consider him. Consider what a great high priest we have in all of our tribulation and all of our trials. He can comfort us. For we have, verse 15, not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We're going to look at that word. He knows everything we're going through, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know, exceedingly sorrowful near unto death, he experienced the gamut of physical, mental, emotional pain. Christ has been there. He has gone through it, and he calls us to always remember that. We cannot become a priest without someone guiding us into that role. And what God is guiding us into is the destruction of our old man, as typified by a young child, a young lad, it says, who guided Samson's hands toward the pillars that would be used to bring about the destruction of many lives, including Samson's. We need to become more and more like that child spiritually so that we can receive God's children and graft them into the body of Christ. And that's an ongoing, is, was, and will be event. In Acts 8:31, and he said, How can I except some man should guide me? This is the Ethiopian eunuch, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture, and this is an interesting part. He's talking about someone guiding him, and look at what he was reading. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led, guided, as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Isn't that interesting? That was the scripture that the Lord had him looking at, reading at that point when he was talking about, how can I do this unless someone guides me? In his humiliation, speaking of Christ and us, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken away, is taken from the earth? So we know who that generation is. Verily I say unto you, this generation, speaking of the elect, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And there's all of those wars and tribulations and signs in the heavens that are spoken of in Matthew 24. That's the generation. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And that's what it means to have your judgment taken away, and God will take our judgment away. We will become, as our Lord, more and more like a lamb dumb to the slaughter all day long. We wait on the Lord. And he will answer us. He will avenge us. He will. and he'll do it in the manner that's perfect and right for us, for each of us. Judges 16, verses 26 to 28, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house stands, that I may lean upon them. And of course, there's great significance there. We lean on the body of Christ, on the administrations, on the pillars that we become through Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Lean unto him. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. Again, there's symbolism there. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And the point Christ is making, of course, is no. This was judgment, and that adds up to 9. He was telling them, this judgment has to come upon you. You're going to be crushed by that stone. And those 3,000 men represent us. And the 250 men of renown represent us. All of these things are now reading, hearing, and keeping those things as the body of Christ today. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. This is his moment of coming boldly before the throne of grace, type and shadow, to obtain mercy in time of need. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. So God avenges us against the Philistines within us by taking away our carnal eyes and giving us eyes that see. So his carnal eyes were taken away. And Christ says in John, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. And so we have to acknowledge our blindness, and then we will see, is what Christ is saying. And that's in type and shadow what Samson was being given to see, that his strength was in the Lord. He didn't need his eyes to bring down this building. He just needed a lad to guide his hands toward the pillar, which is all very symbolic for us. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. I have the verse there, fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on those pillars whereunto thou art also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Those whom Samson slayed during his life typifies those few the Father drags to Christ in this age to be judged. And the dead which he slew at his death were more, typifying our enduring until the end and saving those who will come up in the great white throne judgment. Galatians 4:27 shows us this. For it is written, rejoice, you barren that bear not. Break forth and cry, you that travail not. We don't have the big churches today. We're small, and God said it would be a small remnant. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. So the churches of this world are flourishing. They're large and super churches, we call them. We're not. We're a small church, but this is Gideon's army, and we will have many more children. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And God will use the elect, those who endure unto the end, for that very purpose in the lake of fire, to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, guiding the hands of Samson, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So that's the mindset that he's called us unto, to be receptive, to try the spirits and to be persuaded of those who God brings to us. And not without question, he doesn't say just blind faith, no, but having that respect to listen and to be convinced and persuaded. The same infirmities that are in us were in Christ. That word is G769. being in weak, carnal, sinful flesh that he never sinned in, yet without sin, as it says. Christ is able to comfort us now, being our high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities and can set us free from all spiritual weakness that he makes his strength perfect through. He makes the spiritual weakness in us. He causes us to have those moments of weakness so that then we cry out to him and then he strengthens us. Whether it be through the physical circumstances or spiritual weaknesses, whatever it is, it's both the same. It's working to that end so that we will cry out. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So there's those words, infirmities, weaknesses, which we're looking at. I didn't plan to look at any of those verses, but I'm sure that what you will see in there is what we're talking about, that God makes his strength perfect through our weaknesses, whatever circumstances, whether we're in the lion's den or, you know, we're Israel being booted out of Egypt, going through those severe trials, and then, of course, being strengthened and delivered. And all of that's a process that is being accomplished in the weakness. Let us therefore, verse 16, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We all need God's mercy every single second of our life, as demonstrated with this comment that Christ made to Peter in Luke 22:31. He says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, look at this. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That's his objective. God made him that way. And we are instructed to come boldly, meaning free and fearless confidence, according to Thayer's, unto the throne of grace. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, it says in Hebrews. And he will reward us if we labor in the word, if we continue to persist, if we keep holding each other up, if we remember Lot's wife, if we keep coming together often, not forsaking the assembling of the brethren, we keep doing that. That's what it means. It's a collective event that we come before the throne of grace. We're doing it right now. God sees us. He knows what we're doing. He knows what our objective is. And in our own personal prayers, it's the same thing. He knows what we're striving for together. If you lack faith and boldness, pray for that, and the Lord will give it. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We've all been there. It's like, Lord, why can't I overcome this? Why can't I do that? Why do I not have enough boldness? Pray for that boldness. And pray for each other. Look at this prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for each other. We're praying for each other. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. That's a prayer we should be making for our teachers all the time. And I know we do, but it can't be emphasized enough. We need that boldness to make known what? The mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly. As I ought to speak, we ought to speak boldly, confidently. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. That might be, you know, maybe thinking spiritually, I'm warring, I'm fighting, but are you doing it in your own strength? This is what this is telling us. Yet you have not because you ask not. And if we ask the Lord, he will give us the measure of faith we need. And we need to be thankful for whatever that measure is. And sometimes it's hard. You have to say, no, Lord, I need to understand and accept where you have me. And know that that's the best place for the body of Christ. We need to be where we need to be. These verses in Hebrews 4 that we've looked at, 14 to 16, that we've gone over tonight, have been written to comfort us in our time of need. Our time of need is right now. And Christ has prayed for us that our faith fail not. This is the most encouraging thought, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. 1 John 5:4. The faith that gives us victory in this life. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So that faith that God has given you, and we see it when people step up, all of a sudden, this is happening, that is happening. Fruit is being born in the body of Christ because brethren are being strengthened and they're being converted. And with that strengthening and settling and being established in the Lord, they're serving, they're bearing more fruit, and they're helping the body. And it's all building in on itself. It is those continual and fervent prayers of the saints that will avail much in this life as we petition God for each other and pray for each other as Christ did for Peter. As he is, so are we. We need to see that as our role as a body of Christ. And everyone's part is important, so important to see that. Every joint supplies. Everyone is building this body up together. Those prayers avail much as they make it possible for us together to obtain mercy and find grace, find favor in our time of need. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. We read this earlier. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And your prayers have availed. We are witness of that over and over. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. If we continue to do what it says here in James 5:16, if we continue to confess our faults, pray for one another that we may be healed, those prayers will help us in our relationship, in our understanding, and our being able to be the light in this world. The grace that we find to help in our time of need is typified by the prophets of old who searched diligently to obtain that favor and were examples of suffering affliction and learning patience through it. God's favor, as we know, is his grace that chastens us so that we learn to forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts in this age. And it's important to remember that so that we don't get discouraged or say, well, that means you're being accepted as a son. That's what that means. Every son that he receives, he chastens and scourges. So when you're going through it, just remember that God loves you and he's receiving you through that. He's not receiving the world that way, but he's growing us in his love through those trials. And this typifies it. These prophets of old typify what we're going through, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, every day, looking for him to anoint us, to heal us, to strengthen us, but ultimately looking for him to come back in a moment, and we see that in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And just as we give ourselves, we are as he is. We give ourselves for each other to redeem each other from iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.